to our worship and say our prayers and sing our hymns, and sometimes that can be more comfortable to us than attending to the needs of others, especially those we don't like very much. Open our minds to your truth, O God. Forgive us when we deceive ourselves, O God. Forgive us when we hide our eyes to the suffering of others or close our ears to the weeping of the world to concentrate on our own smaller concerns where life seems more manageable. Forgive us if we push away people who ask tough questions of us or close off our life as your church into what feels like a safe haven. Hear our prayers, loving God.
Bring to us your grace, O Christ,
that lead us toward our neighbors in love. Amen. This is the good news. The news of the gospel, friends, it is for you and for me. Whatever we have done, whatever we have failed to do, whoever we are, whoever we wish we were but are not, we are accepted. We are welcomed. We are forgiven. We are set free by the power of God's Spirit. In the love of Jesus Christ, and our love forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now please join me in our prayer of understanding. Generous God, you give us all we need. As your daughters and sons in Christ, you have given us blessings beyond measure and understanding. Speak to us now in your word, that we may sense your call to be extravagant servants who live as you do, always a giver and never holding back. We pray in Jesus' name, the Word made flesh. Amen. First message is derived from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 15. There's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love, and another to abstain, a right time to embrace and another to part, a right time to search, and another to count your losses, a right time to hold on and another to let go, a right time to rip out and another to mend, a right time to shut up and another to speak up, a right time to love and another to hate, a right time to wage war and another to make peace. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do, busy work mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time, but he's left us in the dark. So we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be, always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Whatever was, is. Whatever will be, is. That's how it's always with God. More than 30 years ago, I met Charles, and I knew what his name was. And probably the second or third time leaving and greeting at the end of worship, we shook hands and I said, nice to see you, Chuck. And he said to me, it's Charles, albeit softly and kindly. And I walked away saying to myself, I guess I got told. Anyway, Charles Barton, our pastor emeritus. Welcome, Charles.
You know what the word is around the presbytery? That if you call me Chuck, you're hastening your death.
I'm still here.
John's still here. That's because he's a quick learner. We've not had the opportunity for our youngsters to come forward, but I'm going to ask if we've got any. The lights are so bright I can't see. But I would like to invite, if we have youngsters, to come forward and help me out with this time with children. No? We've got one, we've got two. One up there. Two up here. Come on down. There's lots of room. Thank you. You're brave. You don't have to be afraid of me. Yet. I would imagine, well, we've got one more. I would hope that all of you have had somewhat of an exciting week this past week because it's the first week back to school. So, what time do you have to get up in the morning in order to be able to catch the bus to school? 6:30 to 7. 5:15. Oh my gosh. Any others? 6:30. 7:45. Wow, you're lucky. 7:45. That's not bad. All right. Then what time, who gets you up and going? Your alarm clock? That's good. Mom, okay. Anybody else? Yourself. That's pretty good. Yourself or on occasion one of your parents. All right, tell me, what time did you get up and get going yesterday morning without school? 6:45. You got... That's an hour and a half longer, isn't it? What time?
Around 11.
Around 11.
6:40?
Okay.
7 because my mom made me.
7 because your mom made good for her. You know, the days it goes by just too quickly. Food pantry. Great. Glad to hear that. You know, how we get up in the morning has a lot to do with the kind of day that we're going to have. For example, if we get up with a sense of excitement and some new things are going to happen, we're apt to have a really good day. On the other hand, if we get up feeling rather blah or terrible or not very enthusiastic, we're apt to have a lousy day, aren't we? It really has a lot to do with the kind of day we're going to have as to how we get up and get going. The Apostle Paul, that we'll hear about in just a moment, recognized and knew that he was called to use each day as an opportunity to serve God, maybe in an ordinary or a very special way. In other words, he knew that he was to make the best of the day that God had given him and to use the gifts that God had given him as well. And so I would hope that you can start each day with the feeling that here's an opportunity to serve God in a special way, to do something special or maybe even ordinary for God, to make the best of the day, to think of how you can make a difference in somebody else's life, or how you can make this a better place in which to live. So, what gets you up and going? Hopefully, you get up and going with the attitude, here's an opportunity to make the best of the day that God has given us. Let's pray together. Great God, we thank you for the countless gifts that you send our way, especially the gifts of each new day. May we use them in creative and productive ways as we seek to be your faithful people in this time and place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming up. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter, portions of the first chapter. I'm reading, as you noted or heard John read, both lessons today are coming from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. Paul writes, "So how am I to respond? I've decided that I really don't care about their motives, whether mixed, bad, or indifferent. Every time one of them opens his mouth, Christ is proclaimed. So I just cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a platform. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his prize. Life versus even more life, I can't lose. As long as I'm alive in this body, there is good work for me to do. If I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I'd choose. Hard choice. The desire is to break camp here and be with Christ. It's powerful. Some days I can think of nothing better. But most days, because of what you are going through, I am sure that it is better for me to stick it out here. So I plan to be around a while, companion to you in your growth, and joy in this life of trusting God continues. You can start looking forward to a great reunion when I come visit you again. We'll be praising Christ, enjoying each other. Meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. One of the difficulties of getting older is it's harder to read. And thank goodness for the new lights. Let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. Your conduct must be the same whether I show up to see things for myself or hear of it from a distance. Stand united, singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message, the good news, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hagar the Horrible is one of my favorite comics. One strip shows Hagar and Lucky Eddie sitting at a table, each with a tankard in their hand. Hagar complains, "I'm in a rut. It's the same old routine day after day. Sometimes I ask myself why I even get up in the morning." The last frame shows Lucky Eddie pointing his finger at Hagar and saying, "Is it because Helga wants to make the bed?" What gets us up and going? Sometimes we have no choice. There are children to be cared for, bills to be paid, work that needs to be done. Every once in a while, we can't wait to get up and get going. The grandchildren are coming for a visit. There's a long-awaited lunch with an old-time friend. Today's the day for that once-in-a-lifetime trip to begin. It's a special birthday and what we have planned. Still, there are those times when we're hard-pressed and could care less. Hardly anything or anyone gets us up and going. We're about to start a new programmatic year here at FPCY. It's more than appropriate to ask, what gets us up and going? Paul wrestles with this issue in his letter to the Philippians. Paul is in prison again, and he's tired. He's traveled all over the known world, preaching the gospel to anyone who would listen, and even to those who would not. Reading his itinerary makes me tired. He went from Corinth to Athens, to Philippi, to Rome, then back to Corinth, and then on to Ephesus. Bouncing from place to place like a ball in a pinball machine, not following any discernible pattern. Paul says if there is a pattern in his zigzag travels, only God understands. It's a lot to keep going. So many churches, so many souls, so little time. Still, Paul preaches and teaches, writes letters, hits the road again, starts another new church, worries about the church he's just left, and raises funds for one of the poorer churches that's struggling to survive. He cajoles and comforts, reprimands those who are slipping away and encourages those who are dispirited, reminding all of them that through Jesus, this old world is really a newborn. Along the way, he finds time to make a few tents to keep him clothed and fed. Paul has had some encouragement along the way. He's nursed fledgling churches into strength. He's ushered countless souls into the presence of Jesus. He's seen churches and individuals who previously could not take a step without him now having enough strength and courage to move forward depending on God's Holy Spirit. Yet, he's also been imprisoned and beaten to the brink of death. 5 times he was given the traditional 40 lashes less one. 3 times he was beaten with rods, and once he was stoned with stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He's been robbed and run out of town by angry mobs. On the road, he's been hungry, thirsty, and without shelter. The heat has threatened him by day and the cold by night. He had every right to throw in the towel and quit, but he didn't. What in the world gets Paul up and going? There he was in prison, still looking for ways to spread the gospel. Paul was still writing letters, still planning his next visit to yet another church. He was bone-tired and spirit-worn. Why didn't he just settle down and let that prison cell become a waiting room for his final healing? This past summer, Ruth and I made more than our share of trips back and forth to Lake Pleasant for any number of reasons. As we drove along Route 9H in Columbia County with all of its magnificent orchards and farms, I was reminded of a segment done by NPR several years ago on the demise of the family farm. They interviewed one man who, year after year, continues to coax life out of his inhospitable corner of the earth, every year sinking further and further into debt. He could sell his property for enough money to allow him to stay in bed for the rest of his life. He was asked, "What keeps you going?" He replied, "Well, the cows still need to be milked. The hay still needs to be pitched. The chickens still need to be fed." What a remarkable answer. He still had a job to do and tasks to perform. In many ways, Paul yearns for the rest and reward of death. Nonetheless, he gets up and gets going because there is still work that needs to be done. For Paul, life is not the chance to have a good time, nor is it the chance to find personal fulfillment. For Paul, life is the opportunity to serve and to care. That's what he means when he says, "Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life, I can't lose. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger." It's our chance to serve as Christ served. No matter what else may happen, no matter what else life may do to us or take away from us, we still have the chance to listen to the anguish that comes from a broken heart, to welcome the stranger, to help carry the burden of one who is struggling just to get by, to introduce yet one more youngster to the living God. Andre Segovia was once asked why he kept such a heavy schedule of performances even as he was pushing the age of 90. He replied, "I will have an eternity to rest." Isn't that the truth for those of us who follow Jesus? In the meantime, each of us has an extraordinary opportunity to serve and to care. Is this what gets us up and going? So what gets us up and going as God's people? I hope it's more than an alarm going off in the morning. Let's be honest, some days that's the only thing that gets us up and going, an annoying buzzer, or an obnoxious song, or newscast. I'd like to believe that there are more creative, or should I say, more redemptive factors than that. Factors like, God has blessed us with another day that might be filled with creative possibilities. Today is a day I can make a difference in someone's life. What I do might make this a better place in which to live. There's the possibility that I can bring healing to someone who's hurting. A major breakthrough might happen because of the work I do. What I'm suggesting is this: our lives are pregnant with possibilities. That in itself should be enough to get us up and going. We never know when we'll have the opportunity to make a difference unless we face each day with the expectation anything, anything is possible. Why is it so hard for us to live knowing our God is full of surprises? Equally important, what gets us up and going as a faith community? As a church, we are here in response to what God has done for us and given us. No matter how we cut it, we are incredibly blessed, perhaps far beyond our wildest imaginings, such is the case personally and corporately. So much so, I'm not always sure we realize how blessed and fortunate we are, so we take an awful lot for granted. Just the same, we get up and get going as God's people. We are here as a faith community, as our way of saying thank you to God. I have to believe this is what brought this church's founding mothers and fathers together in the first place. They came together to express their thanks to God. We get up and get going because of the good news we have to tell and to share. The good news is this: God loves us. God forgives us. God accepts us as we are. It's a love that never ends, a forgiveness that knows no limits, an acceptance that goes to the very depths of our being. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't need to hear that. There's not a day that doesn't go by that you don't need to hear that. There's not a day that doesn't go by that the community around us doesn't need to hear that. Every time we tell the Jesus story, every time we live it, we're touched by a new facet of God's love, forgiveness, and acceptance to the point where we can't keep it to ourselves. This gets us up and going. God has given us such good news in Jesus Christ, there's no way We can keep it to ourselves. We get up and get going as a church because we care about God's people, this community where we live, this earth we call our home. I'm not totally sure that we understand the scope of caring that happens here through our open door policy of welcoming the community into this facility. Nor do we understand the scope of our caring that happens through this church's ministry. The traffic through this place continues to astound me. Traffic that's generated because we care enough to open our doors to people we don't even know. Our sense of hospitality gets us up and going. Please, don't sell it short. There's so much that gets us up and going as a church, but I need to say this. You, us, me, everyone who is a part of this faith community gets us up and going. It is you, 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 and me that makes this church what it is. Even though this faith community is that place where the person we least want to live with always lives. It's God's people who get us up and going. Amen.